It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
And here we go, hour number two of the Rob Brown Show starts right now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob, the great one, Lonzo with you on an upstate Tuesday morning. Spectacular to have you with us today. Should you wish to be a part of the radio broadcast, do it. The renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone open for you, 844-326-3663, 844-FANFONE. You can text us on text line 71307, 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, FAN, F-A-N. We'll read them on the air. You can also tweet me at the Rob Brown Show. Tweet Lonzo at Lonzo on Word. Tweet all of us at the Fan Upstate. If you want to go about it in that direction, you're welcome to do so as well. And don't forget the voice notes feature over on our Odyssey app. Go to the Odyssey app, grab it, put it on all your digital devices, Audacy. Go to the Fan Upstate page. And when you do, you'll see in the middle of the page, there's two buttons, a big orange listen live button, which allows you to listen to the station at your leisure 24/7, 365. Or you can click on the little microphone button. When you click on the little microphone button, you can leave a 60-second voice message that comes straight to me, and we can listen to them, play them on the air, etc., etc. So grab the Audacy app, Audacy, go to the Fan Upstate page, click that little microphone button, and leave us that 60-second voice note that Lonzo and I can respond to. We can play it on the air. Just have some fun, all right? Just have some fun. So use that. Texter said, Fan, after that hot start by the Saints, Goodell must have called them and said it wasn't in the script for them to be a contender this year. Now, I think the Saints, again, every NFL team has two or three games during the course of the year that you go, well, where the hell did that come from? We just went ahead and burned ours out at the beginning of the season. The most Saints thing ever, it is the entire existence of being a Saints fan, is to watch your team get your hopes up, make you believe they're capable of something they're just not, and then come crashing down to earth like a meteor. And that's what we did. Welcome to my life, people. I've been doing this for a very long time. I got a one-year reprieve of the other 37 years of doing this. We do just enough to make you think, oh, maybe we don't suck. And then you suck. It just is what it is. You'll get used to it. You'll get used to it. Hey, it's 7:03 in the morning. You are 56 minutes and 20 seconds exactly away from having to get clocked in and locked in at the office. And if you got to go to work today, one of the beautiful reprieves is the opportunity to take that first break, to walk down the hallway, to go grab Jill from accounts receivable. Big sports gal is Jill, and to talk a little football, basketball, baseball, whatever the case might be, with Jill and the rest of your coworkers. And if you're going to do that, you got to know what's going on. And if you got to know what's going on, you need this. It's the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports with your coworkers today. When you do, this is what you will be discussing. Let us dive in to item number one. Last night, Monday Night Football, the reigning, defending, undisputed back-to-back NFL World Champions have improved to 5-0. They are the last remaining undefeated team in the National Football League after a 26-13 win over our New Orleans Saints. No, they're not. It's them and the Vikings. I keep forgetting about Sam Darnold. How the hell do you forget about Sam Darnold? That's my bad, Sammy D. That's on me. One of two remaining undefeated NFL teams, along with the Minnesota Vikings, after a 26-13 win. Patrick Mahomes, good night, 28 of 39, 331 yards and a pick. No touchdown passes for Patrick Mahomes last night. And by the way, the pick, Lonzo, an NHF, a not his fault interception. All right, hit a man in the hands, popped in the air. New Orleans got the pick going back the other way, ultimately amounted to nothing. Kareem Hunt has made his return. Kareem Hunt checked into the game last week because Carson Steele had a fumble, and they're like, all right, let's give him a break. Kareem Hunt, 102 yards on 27 carries, had a touchdown last night. Xavier Worthy had one carry for 3 yards, but he took that one into pay dirt for a tutty as well. Through the air, 130 yards for Juju Smith-Schuster last night. No touchdowns for him, but moved the ball exceptionally well on those 7 grabs. Travis Kelce had 9 grabs for 70 yards because the Saints just refuse to cover tight ends. On the flip side, Derek Carr, 18-28, 165 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception for Derek Carr. Did leave the game with an oblique injury. They had to go with Jake Haener late in that game. The reservist, 2 of 7 for 17 yards, took a couple of sacks, never got anything going on the ground, and there was your problem for the Saints. 46 rushing yards on 15 carries. They ended up throwing the ball 35 times, rushing at 15. The Chiefs did what the Chiefs are going to do to a lot of teams. They take the run away. You're gonna have to beat us through the air. And unfortunately, as good as Chris Olave is, and as much of a speedster and a threat as Rashid Shaheed is, they just don't have the horses. New Orleans falls last night, 26-13. The Chiefs stay undefeated at 5-0. Let's go to item number two. A pair of games in the Major League Baseball playoffs last night. Both of the American League Divisional Series played their games too, and both of those game twos ended up bringing the series is level at one game apiece. We start with the Guardians and Los Tigres of Detroit. 3-0 winners are the Tigers last night. Tarik Skubal had a 7-inning, 3-hit, no run, 8K night, and was not awarded the win because reasons. Will Vest was 1-inning, 1K, no hits, no runs, no walks for Will Vest, and that was good enough to earn him the postseason W last night. On the other side, Detroit, 9 hits in this game, including a dinger by the designated hitter, Kerry Carpenter. That was enough. A 3-run ribby shot, and that's all the Tigers needed last night. They get by the Guardians. That series now tied up at one game apiece. The Royals get the better of the Yankees last night. 4-2 was your final in that one. Carl Reagans got the start. 4 innings, 3 hits, 1 earned run, K'd 5 in his performance. More interestingly, the Royals hit the ball a lot last night. 11 hits recorded. They ended up forcing the Yankees to go through 8 different pitchers last night, meaning not only did you get a good spot, and yes, the Yankees have the day off to give some guys the opportunity to rest up. They brought in Cousins. He only threw 8 pitches. Hill only threw 3 pitches. It's not the end of the world, but when you can force a team to go through 8 pitchers in a night, it's going to help you out immensely, and that is exactly what happened last night to the New York Yankees. A good pickup of a win there for the KC Royals last night. Both of those series again tied at one game apiece. Both of those games will take place coming up tomorrow. This evening, we go to our National League Divisional Series. The Phillies and the Mets tied at a game apiece. The Dodgers and the Padres tied at a game apiece. Remember, the DSR 5-game series. Couldn't ask for a better second round. We played you the audio from Tim Kirkjian earlier in the week. I told you when these playoffs started, I think anybody who makes it to the divisional round can win the World Series. And here we are with 8 teams across 2 divisional series, and we're all tied up at one game. All 4 series tied up at a game apiece. I don't think you can ask for a better setup than that. All four series, tied at one game apiece. We're going to pay attention to baseball quite a bit as we move to and through the end of the divisional series. Philly and the Mets tonight, 5:08. Dodgers and the Padres, 9:08 with the left coast start. Let's go to item number 3. The next biggest story to come out in college football is going to be whatever the results of the multiple antitrust lawsuits are that are being stared down by the NCAA. Well, now we have at least some sort of thought about the direction we are going in. Judge Claudia Wilkin, who is overseeing those suits, granted preliminary approval to the terms of an industry-changing antitrust settlement yesterday morning, accepting a series of changes made by attorneys representing all Division I athletes, the NCAA, and its Power 5 conferences. Wilkin initially raised concerns about the elements of the settlement. She said in a written notice a few weeks ago that she was concerned the settlement would limit future payments to players and fail to pass legal muster. But in a ruling she issued yesterday, she said that the settlement, quote, will likely be able to approve the settlement as fair, reasonable, and adequate, end quote. Wilkin's order also established a schedule for the remaining steps to finalize the deal. According to ESPN, any athletes impacted by the settlement will have until January 31st to file objections or opt out. A final hearing to approve the deal is scheduled for April 7th of next year, which is coincidentally the same day as the men's college basketball national championship game. Back in May of this year, attorneys for all parties agreed to settle a trio of antitrust lawsuits that claim the association's rules are illegally restricting the earning potential of college athletes. The NCAA agreed to pay roughly $2.8 billion in damages to former and current college athletes. The deal also eliminates the restrictions on schools directly paying players, which has long been a cornerstone of the NCAA's amateurism rules. If the settlement is finalized starting next year, schools would be allowed to pay their players up to a certain limit. The cap is expected to start at slightly more than $20 million per school and increase on an annual basis from that point forward. So with this ruling and the fact that we now kind of have a settlement date, kind of have an idea of the direction that we are going to go, it does appear that that settlement will be levied by the midway point of next year. And I suspect it will not be long after that before the implementation of the settlement, an implementation that will see your favorite school begin to directly pay athletes, as well as allow those athletes to continue to make NIL deals elsewhere. So make of that what you wish. You're going to hear a lot of hosts today that are going to talk about this, and they're going to talk about how this is the end of amateurism. They're going to talk about how this is the end of college athletics. Just keep in mind that those same hosts were the hosts that a couple of years ago were telling you that the transfer portal is the end of amateurism. And we're telling you that NIL was the end of amateurism. And would you look at that? All those hosts that said, oh, it's the end of the college sports world as we know it. It's the end of the college sports world as we know it. They're all still on the radio today talking about college sports. Who'd have thunked it? Me and Lonzo, who told you the whole time, it's going to change, but it's not going anywhere. It's not, we all love college football. This isn't going to be the end of college football. March Madness is still going to happen next year. The College World Series is still, all the things that we love are still going to happen next year. They're not going anywhere. All right? Just take a chill pill, Phil. My mom used to say that's a weird sentence. It's not weird. I get it. It rhymes.
It does rhyme. It does. It's like three words in there. Well, that's four, actually.
Three that rhyme.
Okay.
Yeah. Take a, it was five. Take a chill pill, Phil. Five words, three that rhyme.
Okay. All right.
It's important that we get things right, you know? Got to get the details right.
It's also 7:15, and math is very difficult.
Break. The Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals at the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Real, real, real good. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob, the great one, Lonzo, with you. Be a part of the show. 844-326-3663 is the number. We talked a little bit about this yesterday, and I wanted to go on with it a little bit more today. I planned last night on rewatching the South Carolina Ole Miss game. And I did not do that because while my team was playing Monday Night Football. I did watch it in its entirety on Saturday afternoon. And I rewatched a sped up version, a condensed version on Saturday night. And I want to give some kind of overall thoughts on where we're at, what I saw. I've already told you my biggest takeaway from that game, which is I am devastatingly disappointed in what I saw. I mean, devastatingly disappointed in what I saw. I was disappointed in the fact that you had an extra week to prepare. And the game plan just was bad. I was disappointed in a complete and total lack of discipline out of this football team. And I've made the point before that there is nothing wrong inherently with being a player's coach. There's nothing wrong with it. However, you can have a problem when you try to be a player's coach. And the problem that you can bump into when you try to be a player's coach is that you can end up in a spot where you've got a bunch of dudes that just, the discipline's not there. Right? And again, how many times have I said, when a kid picks a school to play for, There are three C's that he is going to pick your school because of. Coach, culture, cash. Welcome to college football. Welcome to college athletics. Coach, culture, cash. There are some guys who are going to get on with a particular coach because they are a player's coach. That coach still has to instill some level of discipline. That coach still has to instill some level of authority over the program. And I think there are a lot of coaches there that are very good at it, and I think there's a lot of coaches who aren't. And I'll tell you what I think my biggest concern for Shano is right now. The players very clearly love Shano, and I get it. We had Shano on this program last year. Actually, I'm going to try to get him on again sometime in the near future, though. I will tell you, if South Carolina is going to operate the way that, and let me, before I say that, let me say this very clearly. South Carolina's been stellar to work with over the years. We've asked for Dawn. We've gotten Dawn. We've asked for the two baseball coaches that have operated here, including Maneri. We've gotten Maneri. We've gotten Shano, right? I think the only coach over there I have not had on this show yet, and we will work on getting that fixed with basketball just a handful of weeks away, is Lamont Paris. They've been great to work with. But I also know that a lot of coaches have a tendency when adversity strikes and adversity hath struck to kind of shut down, right? To kind of fade off into the background until it gets right. It's very easy to get on a phone and jump on a goofy radio show that wants to talk about where you picked up your locker room dance moves when everybody's riding high. It's a little tougher to do it when you're in a spot like South Carolina's in right now. But back to where this was originally going. It is easy to like Shane Beamer. I've had conversations with him face to face. I've had conversations with him on the radio. He's an easy guy to like. I have had issues in the past with accusations about Shane Beamer's character. Do I think he's fiery? Yes. Do I think he's intense? Yes. Is he absolutely the dude that I could see breaking his foot by kicking a trash can? Yes. But you know what? So am I. And as I think most people around me will tell you, I'm a really nice, low confrontation guy. I don't like confrontation. We've said this before. You want to shut me up? Fight. I'll fade in the background. Unless you're hurting somebody else, I'll fade in the background. I like Shane a lot. But I also think that if that character is the character that wears the whistles at practice Monday through Friday, I could see how this team's got a bit of a lack of discipline. There's also a lack of another thing that I think is a concern, and that's development. We've talked about this a little bit. We talked about it yesterday. Does Lenore Sellers look better in week 5 than he did in week 1? And I understand that he left the LSU game early due to injury. I understand that Akron game would have done wonders for the development and the confidence of Lenore Sellers. But if I ask you to tell me honestly, do you think that Lenore Sellers looks better in week 6 than he did in week 1? I suspect I'm going to find very few Gamecock fans that are going to say yes, that they agree with that sentiment, that they believe Lenore Sellers has gotten better week by week. That's my concern. Has the offensive line gotten better week by week? After that Ole Miss game, that's an easy no for me. In fact, the only spot I can think I can comfortably say we've seen some level of development is the defensive line. Well, I am going to tell you, lack of development comes from one of two things. Either A, your coaching staff don't know ball. And despite the fact that over the past couple of weeks, I have seen a lot of dunk on him comment threads from people going, yo, where's all those people that wanted Dow Loggins? Where's all those people that wanted Clayton White? Where are all those people at? Y'all seem real quiet nowadays.
By the way, I just want to point out, you say week six, but I mean, he's played, what, 3.5 games?
Sure.
And he's coming off of an injury. Give him another game. I mean, before I think you pass judgment.
No.
At least one more game.
Let's be clear here.
We'll see how he plays against Alabama.
I can pass judgment after play one, game one, week one, game two, three, four, five, six.
Should I bow to you? No.
What I'm saying is, I can ask you at the end of every segment, was that segment better than the segment before? And even if it's only the second segment of the show, you can say, yes, it was, or no, it wasn't. Does that mean it's the end product? No.
Well, my judgment is different than yours. So, I mean, that's
okay.
The thing.
Do you think Lenora Sellers is better now than he was week one?
I don't know. You can answer.
No. Either he is or isn't.
So you are not going to put any factors in there at all. It's just, is he better?
Yeah.
I mean, he could walk out there with a gimp leg and barely move, but you can't use that as a reason why he's not better.
It is part of the reason. It can absolutely be part of the reason. But my question is, do you feel like Lenora Sellers, in what should be a pivotal developmental year, do we feel like he is a better quarterback now than he was in week one? Because he has to be. Hurt or not, I need him to. Even if the guy can't walk, you know what he can do?
He's a first-year starter in the SEC, and they had one bad game. One bad game.
No. He was not good against Old Dominion either.
That was the first game of the year.
Okay. Here is the way that this breaks down to me.
So you're thinking I'm making excuses
as
you're making accusations.
Yes, I do.
Whatever. It's we're going to disagree on this forever on every team at this portion when you've got a redshirt freshman playing. He got hurt, was out a game and a half. He comes back and of course he's not going to look better than he did when he played against Kentucky or LSU before he got hurt.
Wait. Why of course?
Because he's coming off of injury.
Then don't play him. If he's not ready to play at the LSU caliber, then don't play him. Go back to the guy who won you the game last week.
So you just leave him out?
No. See, so the problem I bump into here is twofold. Number one, by your logic, by the way that you're attacking this, I can never judge a quarterback because he might be better next week. Hey, I mean, another game of growth. He might be better next week. I can never say that guy's not good enough.
I just said that we'll see against Alabama. After that, I think it's fair to judge.
Also, by the way, you give a lot of leniency to Lenora Sellers that you have never given to Bryce Young. Never given the same leniency to BY.
Because that's the NFL, and we're talking about college football. We're not talking about NFL. We're talking about college football.
What's the difference? Why does a rookie NFL quarterback take heat, but a redshirt freshman who did play last year doesn't take some comments?
How much did he play last year? Like one game?
He played.
Oh, okay. All right.
He played. Right.
I'm never going to compare the NFL and college football as far as that goes because it's a totally different level of football.
I agree with that too. But and Texter just said, why doesn't Lonzo argue for Bryce Young this hard? That's exactly what I'm saying.
Because that's NFL.
So what? It's a quarterback. It's like, oh, so a rookie quarterback should just immediately get it, but a redshirt freshman, oh, the baby. We got a baby, the baby.
Absolutely.
No, I can't get down with that.
Well, I can't.
And again, so that we're clear, let me be real clear about this. This is not me dropping a hammer on Lenora Sellers.
Sure does sound like
it. No, this is me dropping a hammer on a coaching staff I expected to be developing Lenora Sellers.
Let me turn this around. Why aren't you defending Lenora Sellers the way you did Bryce Young?
I am. What I am defending
doesn't sound like it.
No, it is. Hang on, and I'll explain to you exactly how and why. What have I said was the problem for Bryce Young in Carolina? Did I say it was Bryce Young? No. I said it's a franchise who has failed to put him in a position to develop. Failed to put him in a position to grow, to mature, to learn. They threw him into a fire. And so I am at the point now where I'm asking the same question. is that true for Lenoris? Is this a failure to develop on behalf of the coaching staff? And by the way, not just Lenoris Sellers, he just happens to play quarterback. Is Rocket Sanders a guy that looks like he's getting better week to week? Is the offensive line getting better week to week? Are the wide receivers getting better? If I went right now and asked 100 people to name me South Carolina starting wide receivers, how many people could do it around here? Not many. Right? And I think that's kind of my point.
Could they name Clemson starting wide receivers? Could they name Furman starting wide receivers? Could they name Wofford starting wide receivers? I mean, depends on what part of the upstate you go into.
I mean, again, with respect to Furman and Wofford, not the same level. With regard to Clemson, let me put it this way. I don't know how many Gamecock fans right now, if I said name your starting three wide receivers, just two of your starting three wide receivers could do it for me. The question mark is not Lenoris Sellers because he's got all the physical talent in the game. The question mark for me is he getting better? Is the offense getting better? And I thought after LSU and Kentucky, the answer was yes, and then it's like a complete backslide. Those backslides have got to stop. That's my big concern right now. All right, your thoughts, welcome. 844-326-3663. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. It is a good morning. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Rob Brown Show. I know how much you guys love this. We talked a little South Carolina in the last segment. Let's compare and contrast, shall we? Let's compare what we are seeing. And I know they're two different franchises, two different programs, in two different places right now. But let's compare and contrast what we've seen out of Clemson and what we've seen out of South Carolina. And we can even do so if you elect to do it over what we've seen the past couple of seasons.
I just want to say, welcome back, Clemson. This is what you're supposed to look like. So has Cade just suddenly, that thing that Dabo talked about clicking, has it clicked?
I have given you.
Or is it competition?
I have given you my theory on what has happened at Clemson. Some of you accept it, some of you do not. My theory on what has happened is that Dabo Swinney has indeed turned the controls over to Garrett Riley. The offense looks more varied and less predictable. It's not the same set of screens on third and whatever over and over. It looks to me like this offense has kind of started to find itself a little bit. And I think that...
Or Cade finally gets the offense so he can open it up.
Now, I think you can objectively watch the offense and go, it's a more varied offense. No. And I get what you're saying.
Yeah, because so maybe Dabo is taking the heat for this, and maybe all this time it's Cade getting a grasp on the offense. Maybe he finally has, so now they're able to do that sort of thing. Or it's somewhere in between, but I think it's more Cade grasping the offense.
And this may very well just have to be a chicken or the egg conversation, right? Did the offense open up because Cade gets it, or did Cade get it because the offense opened up? To me, one of the things that I think has to be discussed about this is how much more, at least it looks this way to me, how much more freedom Cade Klubnik has within this offense. I'm talking freedom to pull it and run it. I'm talking freedom to move the pocket left or right. I'm talking about to be a much more mobile version of what we've seen the last couple of years that I certainly don't think we saw last year. But I think this year, at least it feels to me, like Cade Klubnik has been allowed to kind of open up this offense and run it with a bit more mobility. And once we started to see that, all of a sudden, Cade Klubnik looks like the quarterback that he was supposed to be. All of a sudden, it looks like Cade Klubnik is the quarterback that we wanted him to be. All of a sudden, it looks like Cade Klubnik gets it. And so I think it's not unfair to ask the question. Does the offense look more wide open now because Cade gets it, or does Cade get it so the offense looks more wide open now? All I can tell you is I'm seeing more. It's less predictable. It's less the Clemson offense and more the offense. It's not the same set of plays over and over. I think that part of the issue over some time for Dabo Swinney is that Dabo spent such a long time, specifically at the quarterback position, but around the entire field. I think Dabo Swinney spent such a long time being able to just out-athlete just about everybody that he was able to get boring and predictable. He was able to start going, you know what? We can tell you what we're going to do, and you're still not going to be able to stop it, right? This is one of the big problems, to bring them back into the equation, because why not? One of the big problems the Saints have had the last 3 weeks is that Taysom Hill has been banged up. When Taysom Hill is out there and it's first and goal from the four, you're lining Taysom up at the fullback spot, and you and me and everybody else on this great green earth knows exactly what's about to happen, and you still can't stop it. And I think that was part of the issue at Clemson. But, and you can blame it on NIL, you can blame it on the portal, you can blame it on Dabo, you can blame it on whatever you want. But the last couple of years, again, specifically at the quarterback position, Dabo hasn't been in that scenario of, we just got better athletes than you do. You can do whatever the hell you want, but we're gonna run what we're gonna run, and you just can't stop it. And that's when they've got to have a little bit of versatility. That's when you've got to have a little bit more to the offense than just, here's what we do. You got to start tinkering. I'm not saying that you got to change it entirely. You got to start adding some wrinkles. You got to start adding some different looks. You got to start adding some different routes to the route tree. You've got to start adding sliding the pocket left and right. And it looks to me like Clemson has started to do that. And as a result, it looks to me like Cade Klubnik's a better quarterback now than he was in week one, and certainly a better quarterback than he was last season. So when I compare and contrast, and I look at a Clemson team that to me looks like they're adding wrinkles, when I compare and contrast, and I look at a Clemson team that looks like they're adding some different looks, some versatility to this offense, and they're making the changes here and there that they needed to change to spring this offense open a little bit, my question would be, genuinely, is South Carolina failing to do the same thing? And it's hard for me not to say yes. To me, against Ole Miss, you should have come into this game with, again, an extra week to prepare, an extra week to prep, an extra week to get yourself sorted. You should have been able to come into this game and have something for them, even if it was just relying outright on trickeration. Now, I do want to say one thing, because I actually don't think we got to this on Monday. A lot of people were upset about that fake punt in the first quarter. I'm not. That was the definition to me. That was the definition to me of one of those plays that if it succeeds, what are we all doing on Monday? Shane Beamer, what a genius. Beamer ball, baby. Beamer ball. That's what Shano does. That's Beamer ball. We're going to get one or two of those special teams plays every game, and that's going to be the difference between success and failure. We are going to win by taking advantage of those opportunities. Beamer ball. But if you don't get it, if you're not successful in that spot, oh, what an idiot. Right? What an idiot. I can't believe it. Why would you do it? It is really, really easy. It is really, really easy to say, well, I would have or I wouldn't have after the thing is over. It's real easy to wake up. It's why we have the phrase Monday morning quarterback, because it's very easy to do that. So I didn't have an issue with that. I didn't have an issue with taking some risk. Again, You were a 20-point, excuse me, a 10-point dog in this game. You were a 10-point dog in this game. And if you come into this game as a 10-point dog, then you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to do something different, special, out of the box, whatever phraseology you want to use here. You're going to have to do something special. And Shane was going for it, which, again, okay, cool. I'm good with that. I think the spot that you ultimately have to be careful in is relying too much on the cutesy stuff and not enough on just change up, just add to the offense, right? And if you're at a spot at this point in the season where you can't add to the offense because you don't think the guys executing will be capable of keeping up with it, that's a failure on coaching. That's a failure to prep a dude. That's a failure to have somebody ready that can execute. And you can put that wherever you want to put it, but it's a coaching failure. Whether it's on the offensive coordinator, whether it's on the position coaches, whether it's on the head coach, you can label that blame wherever you want to lay it. But it's a coaching failure more than anything else. And if that's the case, man, we're a few years in now, right? I think this is probably a different conversation if this is year two for Shane Beamer. This is probably a different conversation than the one that we're having right now. Again, just so we're clear, I like Shane Beamer a lot. I like him as a dude. I like him as a recruiter. Hell, I like him as a coach. I've seen him on the sideline. I've listened to him. I like him as a coach. But I'm looking at a team, and I don't want to do this, but I don't have a choice. And I'm frankly questioning discipline at this point. I'm questioning whether or not this team is mentally prepared enough to beat more teams like Ole Miss.
This is not a Will Muschamp coach team. When you talk about lack of discipline, that was, if you want to know what a lack of discipline team looked like, that was that team. All those years with Muschamp, where guys would just stand there on defense and watch people run by, where they would celebrate when they're down by a bunch. It's just, it's not that. I mean, they had a bad game.
But we literally talked yesterday about Dylan Stewart, who got a sack down 27-0 and came up and shot the quarterback. Like, the things you are utilizing to talk about how Will Muschamp had an undisciplined team literally happened in this game. Like, in this game, this just happened.
Everybody do it or just one player?
Does it matter? It's 15 yards either way.
Muschamp, it would have been multiple players.
I mean, again, I get it and I appreciate it. I am simply going to say, I saw a team that was unprepared, that had an extra week to get ready and wasn't. And that's it. That's all this comes down to for me. I looked at a team that had the opportunity with an extra week coming off the bye against a team that was involved in a fist fight of a game 7 days before that when you were at home in the ice bath getting comfy. Not you. I mean, you were in an ice bath 7 days ago. But
dude, I have flashbacks just for a moment.
You were at home getting comfy the week before. They were in Lexington, Kentucky, involved in an absolute fist fight. You had an extra week to watch them, to get ready to get set up. And what I saw was a game plan that was a failure on both sides of the football, an undisciplined team that took way too many penalties for no reason, and a coaching staff that, as we got deeper into the hole, looked like they just were out of it. And then I look across to Clemson, and what do I see at Clemson? I see a coaching staff that has made changes, that has added wrinkles to the offense, that has worked in a way to build the offense around their quarterback, their embattled quarterback,
third-year quarterback, right?
Second year as a starter, but sure. I look at a team that said, all right, how do we make this guy better? And I think regardless of where you stand on Cade Klubnik, we will all agree that he is better this year. Certainly better right now. And if that's the case, again, buck stops at the top, man. I don't know where else to put it. And that's my concern. What I'm not concerned about is that Lonzo is about to absolutely nail the hell out of the Sports Flash.
Oh, pressure. The reigning defending undisputed Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs took down the hapless Saints last night, 26-13. Patrick Mahomes threw for 331 yards and one pick, but both Chiefs' touchdowns came on the ground. Kareem Hunt had 102 yards and a TD. Juju Smith-Schuster had 130 yards receiving, and Travis Kelce had 70. The Saints finished the night with only 46 rushing yards in the loss. Kansas City is now 5-0. New Orleans drops to 2-3. Both American League Division Series are tied at one game apiece after the Tigers won 3-0 over Cleveland and the Royals down the Yankees 4-2. Both game threes are tomorrow. Both National League Series are tied at one game apiece with the Phillies and Mets today at 5:08 and Dodgers versus Padres at 9:08. Tune in Saturday at 12:30 as Furman Paladins take on the Chattanooga Mocs. It's Furman versus Chattanooga right here on your home for Paladins football. The Fan, Upstate.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.